This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
You guys know what today is? It's a good day to be saved. You all know what yesterday was? It was a good day to be saved. Every day, any day, is a good day to be saved and born again of the precious blood of our risen Savior. The Bible says, though, that we love Him because He first loved us. And His love was exercised upon the cross of Calvary for you and I. Sacrificial agape love is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13. And I'll tell you, it's a sheer blessing of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And we're going to pick up in our next installment of Christian Warfare, our battle on the gridiron of life. And I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to our text verses today. Our text verses, which is Ephesians in chapter 6. And when you get there, I'm going to ask you to stand. We honor the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. Now, being the good husband that I am, I said, honey, do I have to put this armor back on every week? And she said, yes. I said, y'all know what I said? I got the last word in. I said, yes, dear. Now, I've showed these pictures that she took to the coach and the team up there at school. And son, if there's a picture that's made it around the internet, they are having a field day with these things. But they didn't have near as much fun as we had yesterday. We got to play our game yesterday, and your pastor had a blast. And I'm still walking. Not that quick, but I'm sure walking. We had a good time. I may show you guys some pictures during break. Well, I either grabbed the wrong one or ate too much. Who's here for the first time today during this series? It's fun, isn't it? She's like, I ain't coming back to this guy. I'm not taking snakes out, I promise. So we're not going to pull any snakes or anything, but we'll do some funny stuff. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 14, it tells me, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Heavenly Father, we pray today that Lord God, that we can use this as a mighty illustration, that it will stick in people's mind, that even as they think of football or see it on TV, that they're brought back to Ephesians 6, that whereas every Christian should put on the whole armor of God. And Father, we're having a fun time during this series, dear God, but my heart goes out that everyone would gather what you've intended for them to learn, a visual illustration, dear Lord, of the armor that we must wear in the everyday, any day battle against the wickedness of this world, the darkness of Satan, the ruler thereof. Father, be with us now as we go forth to preach thy word and have your will in your way. In Christ's precious name we ask. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Beloved, before we get into this next piece of the armor of God, I want you to see a fact that is written in the Holy Scripture. The fact of the matter is that the Apostle Paul says, by the way, he says this through the Holy Spirit of God. This is not his opinion. This is not his thought. He says it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, stand therefore. Friend, I want to say something to you about standing. And if I can have a little latitude this morning, I sure would appreciate it. But if you're going to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world today, you're going to have to live according to His Word. If you're going to do something today that glorifies Him in this life and glorifies Him alone, you are going to have to stand. Somebody say amen. You're going to have to stand up against the ways of this world. You're going to have to stand up against the works of darkness. You're going to have to stand up against the wickedness of Satan. And friend, you're going to have to stand up against the walk of this life. There's a way that this life goes, amen. The Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Exactly, the ways of death. If you're going to stand up against this world and this life and the wickedness of this world and the darkness of this world and the wickedness of Satan, you're going to have to take a stand for something. There's many people in churches today. There's many people in churches this morning. By the way, let me say this. There's many people that should be in churches this morning and they're not. that are losing the battle because they will simply not stand against the things in this life. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. You missed it, you should have been here. Make a blanket statement. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. Some people, they're just tired and they won't go to church. And Jesus Christ, I'm sure, was tired, amen, when he was led to the cross of Calvary. I'm sure he was weary after he saw his disciple, his apostle, there deny him three times and cussed about him, amen. I'm sure he was a little bit tired when they scourged him. I'm sure he was a little tired when they planted a crown of thorns upon his brow. I'm sure he was a little tired when they mocked him out and they spat upon him and they buffeted him with an open fist in the face. I think Jesus Christ was tired, huh, Brother David? But he went to the cross of Calvary anyway, praise God. He took a stand, praise the Lord, for our sins, and therefore today we can have eternal life through the shed blood of the cross of Calvary because Jesus Christ did not sit down, he stood when he was supposed to stand, friend. Many do not stand today, and if you do not stand for something, you will fall for anything. You will fall apart. Families today are falling apart because no one stands. Children today are forsaking church because daddy did not stand. 70% of high school graduates do not return to the local church. 70% because somebody didn't stand. Dad, listen, it's not your wife's responsibility to take the kid to church. It's your responsibility to lead the home. Amen. I'm not trying to douse the spirit. I'm just going to man up and tell you right here. Listen, you better take a stand today to lead your family in the right ways of God. Because if you don't, this world's going to lead them in the wrong ways of Satan. Somebody say amen to that. Families today are falling apart because no one stands. Children are forsaking church because no one stands. People are being weak because no one is willing to stand for the right ways of God. So I ask you this, are you ready to stand today? Are you willing to stand for the right ways of God? Will you pick up the armor of God that He has given you and stand for His name, stand for His word, stand for His cause? Are you willing today to do that in this life? Are you? Two of you are ready or willing. Are you willing and ready to stand today? Say amen with me. Amen. The battle's long. Let me go ahead and tell you that. It's a long battle. It doesn't have a time limit on it. We don't know when it's going to end. Let me say this to you. Not only is the battle long, friend, but it's real. It's the real deal. Holyfield's not the real deal. Amen. Now, he is in the boxing ring. But in spiritual warfare today, this is a real battle. This is a real battle. This is a real spiritual battle that bleeds over into the physical more times than we even can imagine. Are you willing today to pick up the armor of God, the whole armor of God that He has given you, put it on, stand for the right ways of God, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness? You say, well, where's the belt? Where's your belt? You just got to act like this is the belt. It says truth on it. Amen. She won't let me wear the football pants in here. So anyway, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Right here. This is our lifestyle. Guarding that heart where Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's these cleats right here. When we played yesterday, I had cleats on. You know why? So I could move. If I'd have went out there in a pair of boat shoes, amen, or some slippers, I'd have slipped all over the place and fell on my face. We have to be prepared with the gospel of peace to give an answer to every man that asks of the hope that lies. Hey, preacher, you know what? You had a real bad day today. You got in at 5:30 this morning and you're weary, you're tired, man. How come you're so excited? Because I prepared my heart to be excited for the gospel of God because 8 souls got saved this past week. Amen, glory, hallelujah, amen. In the prison house, we had about 6 or 7 got saved last week. Praise God, He's still saving today. And if He's going to do it on the ball field, and if He's going to do it in the jailhouse, amen, He'll do it in your house, and He'll do it in the church house. Give me an amen, praise God. I'm telling you, God will save today if you'll put on the whole armor of God and be prepared and willing to fight the battle. Some of us have quit. Well, God's just not saving people today. God said, He said, my hand is not shortened that I can, and my ear. Hey, listen, He can save anybody. You're not out of His reach, nor out of His eyesight, nor out of His earshot, amen. He hears everything that you say. He hears that little child in the back room and says, God, save me, amen.
He hears that elderly person there over there in the shut and says, Lord, save me. He hears that prisoner down there went to jail for robbing people. God, save me. He hears that ball player there in the classroom. He says, Lord, save my soul. Hey, he hears that mama who's weeping and praying on the kitchen counter because the children gone astray. And she says, God, save me. He hears the daddies over there who's at work every day, working 80 hours a day, and on the way home gets convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and knows that he's a sinner and he needs to be saved and born again. And he says, God, save my soul. He hears them all. He saves them all. And he keeps them all. Say amen, people. Say amen. Boy, God is good. I love him to death. He said, say, have your loins girt about with truth. My voice is shot. Please forgive me today. Have your loins girt about with truth. That is the truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's your strength this morning. That is your stability this morning. He said the breastplate of righteousness. He said having that on. Amen. Having the breastplate of righteousness on. He said having your feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace. But friend, he said above all. He said above all. Did y'all catch that? Or are we thinking about a ball game this afternoon? Amen. Listen, I'm dressed out. I ain't taking no punches today. Amen. Did y'all hear what I said? Above all? If I said, listen, I need you to go to the grocery store for me. I want you to get some apples, some oranges, some peaches, some nectarines, which are all great. But above all, make sure you get some bananas. You know what that means? If all they have is bananas, you come home bananas. Amen. If you only got enough money for the bananas, all the other ones stay at the store, you come home with them. That's what that means. Paul says above all those things, above your feet, above the breastplate, and above the you got to have these first. But he said above all, before you ever go into battle, before you ever do anything, before you ever decide to face the foe in this world today, he says, take. See, this is having. But Paul said, take. You know what that means? Brother Josh, that means you got to go get it. All right? The material manager or the equipment manager, he's not bringing this one to you. You're not getting this one when you got saved. This right here, the shield of faith. This shield of faith here, he says, above all, it's the most important part of the Christian's armor, and you've got to take that shield of faith. You've got to grab a hold of that shield. And friend, this shield that Paul is referring to, it's not this small round shield with the soldier head held on his arm to fight off the weapons of the enemy, but what it was a great oblong a piece of equipment, a great oblong shield, and it was worn by the soldier upon his opposite hand. If he was left-handed, he wore it on his right arm, and like this right here. If he was right-handed, he wore it on his left arm, like this right here, because he could hold his offensive weapon here, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But he had this great long piece of armor, and it protected his entire body. You guys have seen the Roman illustrations when the Romans come together in their mighty legions, guys. And when they come together, you got the down soldiers like this, and you got the up soldiers like that, and they come together as one armament. Protecting each other from the arrows that are being shot in and the fiery darts that are being shot in by the enemy. That is what the shield of faith does for us when we battle Satan in an everyday battle, beloved. It's worn to protect the entire body from the fiery darts thrown by the enemy. Friend, these darts and their arrows at times with these darts, they're dipped in pitch, a tar-like substance. Some were dipped in a combustible material that was set aflame. And when these darts or these arrows were thrown by your enemy, when they struck, several of them would break apart in a combustible like a little mini bomb. Some of them would stick into whomever they were, and it would bust on your skin. It would burn you and set you on fire. But they were little bombs that set ablaze its target. Friend, Satan throws these darts at the believer today. He throws these darts in many ways to affect our everyday life and our everyday work. He throws darts of doubt at us every single day. He throws darts of doubt. This is his primary tool. He throws it against those that name the name of Christ. He throws those things against those that want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He throws doubts at people today who want to do right for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. How many people who watch football, have you ever seen a player go on the battlefield one of these? Yeah, and this is all for training, right? So, you know, the soldier can't have that on. What are we going to use on a daily basis as a shield of faith? What does a football player use? Well, you see, many football players have gloves on, don't they? Most of them wear gloves. And why do they have those gloves? See, here's what happens. We get out there in this world today, and that battle starts occurring. And we start fighting these foes. And those darts of doubt are thrown our way. They're thrown at us, questioning our salvation. And you know what we got to do? We got to shuck them. That's what's called shucking. I wish I had somebody here big enough I could shuck. You get an idea. When those offensive men, when they come out and that linebacker standing there, he shucks him and he wants him off of him so he can get to where his target is. And you're getting him off him. You're getting him off him. You're getting him off him. The Bible tells me that no man is entangled with the lie, with the affairs of this life. When that offensive man comes out, you don't let him get on you. You don't let him grab you. You don't let him get a hold of your life and start controlling you. But you can't get tangled up with him and wrestle him. It's not wrestling. It's football. Amen. And you get that man off of you. And that's the shield of faith, friend. You keep them away from you, an arm's length away, a minimum. And you get them away, and you get them away, and you get them away. You do not let them get close on you. That's why the shield is here. You're keeping them away. You're keeping them away from your heart, away from your family, away from your children, away from your mind, away from the goal line over there that you're defending. He throws these bombs at you, these bombs of doubt, where you're doubting your salvation. Everybody in here today, if you're saved and born again, you have doubted your salvation at least one time. And that devil throws that thing at you. Well, maybe you're really not saved. You know what you need to do then? Because you're not going to miss something you never had. You're not going to question you ever had something if you never had it. Somebody say amen to that if you got it. Amen? That shield of faith, my friend, I'm telling you, that doubt comes into your mind, that bomb is thrown, you better get that thing away from you. Don't you let it get in here, plant a seed. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, that second bomb of doubt's coming. Doubt how much you're worth. Well, you ain't worth anything. That God don't love you. He's too big. What does He care about you? You're just a little bitty old speck of sand in all of this universe. We're nothing. I've heard people say that, so-called scientists. Well, sure is pretty prideful for you to think a God would die for you. What are you amongst so many? He'd have died just for me. You know why? Because He loved me. He'd have died just for you, Sister Carolyn, because He loved you. And so when that dart of doubt comes flying at you, flaming like you wouldn't believe, you know what you got to do? You got to block it off with the shield of, what is it? Faith. You say, well, what about the shield of fact? It ain't based on fact. It's based on faith. Trust and dependent that God will protect you. That shield will protect you from the darts fired of doubt. It'll protect you when the darts of doubt are fired with you, questioning your calling, questioning your worth, questioning whether or not you need to serve God, questioning whether or not your need to be faithfulness to God. Hey, it will do all of those things in your life today, questioning the Word of God. Think about it for just a second. This is what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. The very first thing that he did was begin to question the Word of God. What did he say? Yea, hath God said. The first thing he did. Look what that thing turned into. Oh, he was over there standing, admiring that tree, saying, boy, that's a good looking tree. Man, that's able to make one wise. My soul, it's good for the belly. It looks like that was probably a porterhouse steak, amen, hanging on that tree. It was something good. He said, yea, hath God said. Man, did he really say that? Are you sure that's what he meant when he said that? Now think about it. What does she do? Watch this. God said that we should not eat of it, neither should we touch it. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. He never said you couldn't touch it. He said, just don't eat it. Let's translate that today. Yea, hath God said that you really need a tithe? Tithing's Old Testament. You don't need to do that. Yea, hath God said, he really didn't mean forsaking not the assemblies of yourself together. As a matter, he really didn't mean that in Hebrews chapter 10:25. He meant something else. What did it start with? It started with a fiery bomb, a fiery dart of doubt in the Word of God. When you begin to doubt your need and your worth and your service and your faithfulness and your calling and your attendance, when you begin to doubt that stuff, you will eventually doubt your salvation of whether or not you're even saved. And you know what he does? He sits back and he laughs. He goes, you know what? They've been given the playbook. They've been given the ability to defeat me, but they're not picking up the weaponry. And that's a problem. We don't stand in the Christian faith to fight the enemy, because we've been given the weapons to do so. It's no different than a man walking out on a ball field with shoulder pads on, his pants on, and then got penny loafers and no helmet. Buddy, you're not ready to fight. You're ready to go to the hospital, amen. It ain't going to work like that. The devil fires out darts of doubt. The devil fires out darts. Look up here now. I'm up here. The devil fires darts of discouragement into our life. This dart, listen, this is when the thoughts of depression, the thoughts of defeat, the thoughts of desires, the passions from our heart, it comes into our mind and it comes into our souls today. And these passions of our heart, they ignite as soon as they contact the skin, the feeding of the flesh. He fires the darts of discouragement. How many people have been discouraged in our life, in their life today? Everybody has. Every one of us have. Man, we've been discouraged and we sit there and we think, man, why me? And the Lord looks up there and he says, why not me? Or why not you? He said, I died for you. You see what I'm saying? We read that verse in Isaiah 43 this morning. He said, I'll be with you when you walk across a creek. I'm paraphrasing. I'll be with you walk across a river. He goes, I'll be with you when you walk around in the fire. And everything will take good care of you. You see, guys, he fires the doubts, the darts of doubt, the darts of discouragement, the darts of despair. Listen, you know what the darts of despair do in your life? They question your will to win. I can't win. I don't have victory. I can't fight that old flesh. I can't win today. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:12, he says, For if there be first a will in mind, is it accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. You may be here today. And he said, preacher, I can't speak, I can't sing, I can't memorize scripture, I can't do all that, but I'm willing to do so. See, if you have a willing heart today to stand before the wiles of the devil and those darts and deflect them, God will give you what you don't have. What God can't give you today, he can't give you the will to win. You got to do that. There must be a will today. Are you willing to serve? Say amen today. Are you willing today to sacrifice? Are you willing to have stability in your life this morning? That's the key. And when this dart meets its intended target, the Christian's mind is moved beyond the present into a realm of disparity, allowing the mind to lose focus and actually begin to despise the work and the service of God. I gave these 3 points to the team on Thursday afternoon. This is what I said to them. I said, how many people believe you can win on Saturday? And they all raised their hand. I said, good. I borrowed one of the players. I stood him right here. I said, this is Mr. Can. He can win. Okay? All right? I said, now let me ask you this question here. How many people here this morning believe you will win? As soon as a couple hands went up, y'all know the story. There ain't nobody going to keep their heads down after that. Especially the coaches behind them watching them, right? This is Mr. Can. This is Mr. Will. Do you know what the difference between will and can win is? Belief in the middle. See, do you believe you can or do you believe you will? And that's the difference. Because Mr. Can, no offense to you, you're just the closest. Mr. Can depends on the failures of his opponents to claim the victory. Mr. Will depends on his faithfulness in his work to proclaim success. He believes to be faithful. That's what faith means. It's his faith. It's his focus on the target and knowing what the devil does. And finally, it's his fortitude. Y'all know what fortitude means? Fortitude. Get in here, boys. Have birthday, boys. Fortitude means perseverance. Perseverance and courage in the midst of pain and adversity. Guys, listen. On the gridiron, on the football field, I told all my guys, as my coaches told me, the very first hit of the game establishes the tone. And the first thing I'm thinking about when I lined up was knocking the snot out of somebody. You say, why, preacher? Because I'm setting the tone. I don't want the tone set on me. I want to set the tone. When you fight this battle, you've got to make a decision of whether you can win, depending on the failures of the devil. By the way, he has none. Or whether you will win. Depends on your faith, whether you believe you will win. Depends on your focus. Will you keep your eye on the target and the goal? And it depends on the fortitude. Perseverance and courage during the midst of adversity and pain. Sound boys, thanks. It's painful in this battle. Somebody say amen if you've been hurt in spiritual warfare today. Amen.
Amen.
We got 2 walls in our house right now that's filled with water from a pipe leak. Yep. We got 1/3 of our downstairs basement right now is sopped. That happened Wednesday. You say, wait a second, preacher, you still went to Nebraska? Yep. You know why? Because I believe the Lord wanted me there to do exactly what happened Thursday. Preacher, you came to church? Yep. Came to church. I'm not a plumber, number one. Anything I do, I'm going to mess and make it worse. Amen? Fortitude in the midst of pain and adversity. Guys, I'm telling you right now, you got to make a decision of whether or not you're going to stand. And you're going to put on the whole armor of God. But if you're going to use the shield of faith today to deflect those darts of the devil, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to pick it up. It's not going to be given to you. You're going to have the will to win this morning. The sign of the Christian soldier, the sign of the defensive athlete is his defense in the army of God. It's his faith If, guys, the psalmist says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter of mine hand." Friend, the shield of faith is the only defensive weapon we have in the midst of the attack. It's the only defensive weapon that will fortify the other weapons that we carry. And it alone will guarantee victory. The Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The darts that are thrown, the ones that will burn at the wickedness of Satan's hand today, they are tempting darts, they are desirable darts. They're darts of darkness, they're darts of doubt, they're darts of despair, they're darts of all of these things in this life today. But the only thing that's going to put those darts out is your faith, trusting and depending on God. You said, "Preacher, what if I'm the only one? Give me 5 more minutes and we're done. We'll go eat." Brother Coulter, what if I'm the only one that stands? What if I'm the only one in the midst of this battle that's willing to put the armor on? What if I'm the only one to look like a fool in front of everybody walking around like this? I'm about 110 degrees right now with this stuff on. What if I'm the only one to stand? The Bible tells me, notwithstanding, Paul said this, in the midst of shipwreck, in the midst of a 14-day fast, in the midst of utter darkness around, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. He hadn't eaten in 14 days and nights. There was 200 some odd people on that ship. Matter of fact, the soldiers were ready to cast the prisoners off. Paul was by himself. He said, "Notwithstanding." He said, "The Lord stood with me." You know what that is? It's faith. You don't need to hear God. You don't need to see God. For faith is your shield in the midst of the battle on the Christian warfare today. Faith is your shield. It is your sign. Faith is your standing today on the gridiron of our life. The Bible tells us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. In the midst of that struggle over there when Paul's on that ship, Paul just said this, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." He said, "I believe God." Every one of those men, except for Luke that was with him, were pagans. Every one of them. He said, "I believe God. And it shall even be as it was told to me." Do you believe today the Bible says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee"? Do you believe today, that without faith it's impossible to please Him? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe this morning that God said, "Present your body to live and sacrifice unto me"? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe God said that if He'll save you, that He's going to keep you? Do you believe that this morning? With these things, when these things are thrown at you, on those days, when you're at your last straw, you're tired, you're weary, you've gabbed all this garb up, and you're just sitting there and you're like, "Oh, the battle, it's just too..." Oh, wait a second. There it is. Oh, yeah. There's my faith. There's the bench I want to sit down. There's the sideline I want to tap my head for somebody to come pull me out. But notwithstanding, the Lord's still with me. I believe that it will be just as it was told to me. Be of good cheer, Christians. God said He'll never leave you, forsake you. God said that for with God all things are possible. God said that His hand is not shortened, nor His ear that He cannot hear. You see, guys, all of that is by faith, because you haven't seen God. You haven't met Him. And the only thing that's going to quench the darts that some of you are facing right now, some of you have to decide whether or not you're going to come for second service. Some of you are going to have to make a decision tomorrow at work that's going to be against what that Word of God says. The only thing that's going to keep those darts away from you is your faith today. And you must exercise the faith for it to get stronger. And it must quench the fiery darts of the devil, that they explode and they stick not to your life. You know what it takes, people? It takes you to stand. It takes you to stand up. It takes it when nobody else stands. Ladies say, "Preacher, what if my husband won't stand?" You stand then. Children, what if my mom and daddy won't stand? Kids, you stand. Amen. And don't buck up at me, parents, and say, "Oh, don't you tell my kids what to do." I'm not. The Word of God's telling them what to do. If they're saved, they need to stand for what is right. And mama and daddy, if you don't want to get right, maybe they'll stand to be a shining example unto you that one day you will. But friend, listen to me, we're done. If you're going to do anything in this life, in the Christian warfare, if you're going to do anything on the gridiron of life today, you've got to take a stand upon the Word of God with the truth, with your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith that you may quench the fiery darts of the devil. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? With every head bowed, every eyes closed today. You're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you some way, shape, form, or fashion. I don't know how He has. Maybe you're here today and the dart of distraction. Maybe you're thinking about work tomorrow. That happens. Happens quite a bit. Maybe you're here today and the dart of doubt or the dart of destruction has been thrown your way. I want to pray for you this morning. Just before we go into this invitation period, I want to pray for you and ask that the Lord would give you a reprieve from what the devil's throwing at you so that you may put this armor on and go out and face Him right here, right now. Just signify by the uplifted hand. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I see your hands. Yeah. Let me ask you something. Let's all be honest. I'm going to speak to the men just for a minute. Between me, you, and God. Men, eyes closed, heads bowed. You're here today, and you can honestly say that you're not the man in the house that you should be, that the Lord would have you to be. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. Guys, this ain't me trying to get information. I want to sincerely pray for your home and for your position as husband and father. If that's you today, put your hand up, put it back down. I remember you in prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for your honesty today. Amen. Praise God. Ladies, let me ask you something. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I want my husband to lead the home, and I'm willing to step out of the way should he take the reins and lead the home today, pick up the shield of faith and breastplate of righteousness, having his feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace, as the ones good about truth." If that's you today, ladies, if that's your desire this morning, put your hand up and put it back down. I'll pray for you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Children, you're here today. The Lord's touched your heart. And you want your home to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. You don't know how to do it, but you just want prayer today that the Holy Spirit would move in. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, today we commit this time unto You with this invitation. Father, You know the hearts and minds of everybody present. Lord, You know those that have raised their hands and You know their desire. You know their needs today. And Lord, I come before You with a sincere, open, and pure heart and ask You, dear God, to answer their prayers according to Thy precious will. Lord, I pray that every man in here from this point forward today would stand upon that which is right with an open hand, not a closed fist, with a loving heart, dear God, and not a hateful heart. But dear God, I pray they would stand upon the righteousness of the Word of God. Father, I pray for the ladies here today who desire to be led of God today by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, that You, Father, would help them fulfill their role in the home, dear God, allowing their husbands to take the stand that He needs to do, to be in church, to serve You, to witness, to have family devotions, to do the things, dear God, that You would have us to do, Father, together as a family, so that our family may be unified, so that our families, dear God, today may serve You in peace. Father, I pray for the children that raise their hand, that the Holy Spirit of God today would sanctify and fill their homes, dear Lord. Dear God, I pray, save their parents, Lord, their aunts or uncles or grandparents' lives. Save their souls. Father, we commit now to You this mighty time of prayer. Let us not forsake the movement of the Holy Spirit of God as the darts have been thrown already. Let us quench them with our shield of faith and come forward today, asking in prayer that which You would have to be done in Christ's precious name. As the piano plays, I ask you to come this morning. You get up out of that seat. You have a desire today to lead your home in righteousness. You have a desire today for your home to be led of the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody and anybody today, you can come to the altar of God. Children, you're here today and you have a desire for your home to be led of the Spirit of God today. For your moms and your dads, maybe to get saved and born again, your grandparents, you get up and you come this morning. Listen to me today. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, all the what I've said today sounds good and sounds nice, but there's something that's missing in your life. You've never truly repented, which means turning away from self-sin and the seduction of this world, turning away from Satan and his works in the darkness of this life. You're here today and you've never truly and purely done that, but you want to. You're willing to do it today. I'm going to ask you to be the biggest man you've ever been, the biggest woman you've ever been, or child. Get up from your seat and you come to this altar and you let me know. And one of our preachers, one of our counselors will take you to the side and will show you the faithfulness of the Word of God today, that you yourself may come to know the grace and the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. You're here today and you want to be saved and born again. You come and you let me know. You signify if you're coming to be saved today.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.